Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is CSN's Capitals Faceoff.
Welcome, everyone, to this week's Capitals Faceoff podcast. Tarik El-Bashir and Jill Sorensen here with you. And we're going to get right into it. We have an extremely special guest with us. Troy Mann, the head coach from the Hershey Bears, is joining us from the phone. Troy, thank you so much for taking some time out of your downtime and answering some questions for us.
Yeah, no problem. I'm glad I could do it for you.
So we, Tarik and I, have been really intrigued this offseason, obviously, because we're going to be seeing a lot of guys that you have been coaching up in Washington. And I know a lot of Caps fans are wondering who we're going to see in Washington. So we decided to go straight to the source. And I wanted to know, who, when you look at this fall, who are you guys planning to live without?
Well, I think there's a number of guys. You know, you don't really want to center out too many guys without forgetting about certain guys as well. But I think there's a number of guys that certainly are going to get some great looks in September. And, you know, obviously the Veranas and the Walkers of the world and Barbers and Travis Boyd and with Stevenson. You know, I think even Liam O'Brien. So I think it's going to be a great battle come September in terms of who will eventually earn those spots. But I'm looking forward to it personally, just because it's been 2 good years with our young guys, and I think it's going to be a great opportunity, and it's a good time that's coming now for them.
Troy, this is Tarik. One guy who really intrigues me is Christian Juice. You look at his dimensions and you go, "Wow, that's not a very big guy." And I know you guys have really worked on him to kind of bulk up a little bit. How do you see his game translating to the NHL if he does start the season in Washington?
Well, I think that Juice is a perfect candidate when you start looking at the defense, only because he's a great puck mover. I think, you know, you really have got to come to a hockey game and watch from up top to really appreciate his skill set and his ability to break pucks out. And I think the NHL in the last couple of years has certainly gone in a different direction, and I don't think you can have too many puck movers on your team, and certainly that's something that he can do. He was fantastic on the power play. You know, last year, or 2 years ago now, you know, we put him on the first power play halfway through the season, and he's never looked back in terms of relinquishing that spot. And his creativity and his, you know, just his hockey IQ is exceptional. And, you know, if it wasn't for that injury early in the year, I think he would have won the scoring title for a defenseman in the American League, because if you look at his games played compared to where he finished, which I believe was third in the league or second in the league, I think he would have overtaken Brendan and the other, I think it was Teremina there in from Syracuse.
Troy, the couple of times I've seen him play, he doesn't seem to get smashed into the boards pretty good. He seems to be a guy who's able to, he has a good radar. He kind of knows when bigger players are coming for him, and he spins away. What are some of the things that you think will help him kind of overcome that lack of, you know, size?
And you're absolutely right. Like, when you come and watch a hockey game, he doesn't get hit a lot, you know, and he has certainly learned over the last season and a half probably to be able to absorb hits. You know, our breakout system is exact same as the Washington Capitals. Todd Reardon has put something in place when he came to the franchise 3 years ago, and we basically do the same types of breakouts in terms of what we're doing when we go back to the puck, how we're absorbing it, how we're breaking it out. And Juice and all our D have certainly bought into it, and you know, in terms of our younger defensemen, they need to continue to be able to do that if they want to play for Wash here at some point.
when you look at a guy like Madison Bowie, obviously struggled through some pretty big injuries last year. When you look at him, who do you compare him to, and what do you want to see him do this offseason to put himself in a better position to maybe get some time in Washington?
Well, I think Madison's he looks like an NHLer. You know, he's got that demeanor out there. He has the size and physical tools to be able to play at the NHL level. I mean, certainly his consistency is something we've worked on here the last two seasons. You know, when he got injured on August 28th, my mindset's in summer, but December 28th.
Us too, it's all right.
December 28th there, he was playing his best hockey that I had seen him play in my year and a half with him. And unfortunately, that injury at 3.5 months set him back. And my comparable to him was when Subban went out for Nashville. He had a long-term injury during the season. He missed a number of games, and he flat out told the media that it took him 16 games to get his A game back. Mm. And you know, Madison only had 6 or 7 games before the playoffs. So, you know, to say that there were some inconsistencies there, we're not going to lie and say there wasn't. But understandable when he missed 3.5 months. So I'm really intrigued and anxious to see what kind of, how his training camp is going to go in September, because I know he's going to have a great summer, and there's a spot there for him. He's a right shot D with size, and he can move the puck. I wouldn't be shy to say that if he has a great training camp, you could see him even cracking the lineup.
How about Nathan Walker? He sounds like a guy who has been penciled in probably for Daniel Winnick's spot. What can we expect to see from him?
Well, you know, he's another four that just come along really well over the last three seasons, and he's had some injuries as well. And he was having a great campaign for us this year, and then he broke his hand blocking a shot at the All-Star, the game right before the All-Star game. But, you know, he's a great 200-foot player. He's real good on the forecheck. I love his stick detail in terms of when you're coaching players and tell them, hey, it's important that if you're getting in on the forecheck that you've got your stick on the ice, because ultimately we need the puck. He is really into those type of things in terms of learning from what you're preaching to your coach. So his coachability factor is excellent. I love his game. I think he's going to be a real good, solid player for the Caps at some point. I hope it's October for his sake. But I'd love to see him get an opportunity down there and win a spot. But at the same time, there's a number of other guys in the mix there, and he's going to have to come in and earn it as well.
One of the guys you mentioned early was Riley Barber. What do you see from him, and how much seasoning do you think that he would benefit from in Hershey before actually getting up here to Washington?
Well, I think his scoring in a consistent manner needs to improve. I think that Riley Barber is a kid that really cares, especially about scoring. I mean, and he really gets down on himself when he's not contributing on the score sheet. And that certainly can be a downfall for a young player because, as we all know, the NHL is harder. And I've talked to Riley about this this past June or May when we had our exit meetings because, you know, if you look at his playoff success, and we've won, you know, we've had two pretty good runs in Hershey, one to the finals, and obviously we lost in Game 7 to Providence in the second round. Well, you know, his ability to score, the numbers aren't there. But that doesn't mean he hasn't played well. You know, he has played a very good 200-foot game for us, and I've tried to talk to him about it's going to be hard to score at the NHL level. So his mental game is going to be the factor that determines when he becomes a full-time NHLer, because the scoring is not going to be there quite frequently as maybe the regular season in the AHL. And when he battles that, I think he can be a consistent player and help the Caps out as well.
Do you think that being in the Washington locker room and sort of battling through that, he might get some veteran help in the room in that regard? Because certainly other guys have struggled with that mentality.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, I can't speak to the type of leadership inside the Caps room is, but I would hope that some of these veteran-type players that have been around for a number of years would take Riley under his wing and in terms of giving him confidence on a game-to-game and day-to-day basis, because he did earn a call up there midway through the season and was well-deserved. He was playing some fantastic hockey for us. What I love about Riley Barber, he's not afraid. He competes really hard, very good along the wall in D-zone in terms of getting pucks out in the neutral zone. So he does all the little things well. But like I said, he gets a little bit frustrating when he's not on the score sheet, and we all know how hard it is to score in the NHL. So that's something he's going to have to battle here, and once he overcomes that, I think he's going to be in good shape.
Troy, I'm going to cut right to it with Jake Virana. Is he ready for a top six role in the NHL?
Well, I think we're all going to find out here pretty quick based on what's transpired over the summer.
Sure.
Skill set, skating, shot, in my opinion, is all NHL caliber. His consistency, his ability to get inside the dot on a game-to-game basis is certainly something that's going to dictate whether he can stay there in that top six on a permanent basis. As I said to Jacob Virana at the end of the year, you know what? Players aren't perfect, and you know what? I can take some of his deficiencies in D-zone at times. You can't tell me that all the NHL players that are consistent scorers are perfect in the D-zone. So as a coach, you can handle that. But if you are a scorer and you are a skill guy and you do have speed, then you need to be consistent with your speed. You need to be consistent with getting inside the dots and getting to those hard areas to score goals, which we know in the NHL, it's not hard to you know, all these analytical guys, they tell you where all the goals are scored for them, and we do the same at the American Hockey League level. There's no secrets on where the goals come from, and if Jacob can do that on a consistent basis, I think he's going to be right there for that that one spot that seems to be open in the top six.
Chandler Stephenson, we got to see a little bit in Washington last year. When you look at his game, he's so solid. Obviously, he's a great skater. What does he need to do to stand out a little bit more, do you think?
I just think it's consistency. You know, and we talk about that with a lot of our young players, but the positive note on Chandler Stephenson is I thought he was excellent for us in playoffs. I thought he was very good down the stretch as well. We would not have made playoffs if it wasn't for him. Our best line down the stretch before we got to the playoffs was Chandler Stephenson, Nathan Walker, and Riley Barber. If it wasn't for that line, we didn't get in the playoffs. You know, we can talk about the goaltending of Phoenix Copley, but that line was excellent down the stretch. So Stevenson's got he's got the body to be an NHLer, unbelievable skater. I also think he needs opportunity. You know, I think it's very difficult for him, and he expressed this to me, you know, when he goes up and, you know, at the end of the game, he's got 4 or 5 minutes of ice time. That's difficult on a young player. So I think opportunity as well as him being consistent can certainly, he can surprise some people because I really believe he can be a solid NHLer for years to come based on his physical and mental makeup.
Is he a guy that you can see playing wing in the NHL until there's an opening for a centerman?
Well, coaches will always tell you that it's easier to move a centerman to the wing than it is a winger to center, and we've seen that in Hershey the last couple of years with our center ice depth not being as good as maybe it could be and having to try Nathan Walker in those spots. Stevenson's never played on the wing for us in Hershey, so it's hard for me to say, but in terms of coaches being able to move centers to wing, it has happened in the past. He certainly has the skating ability to play on the wing, but in Hershey, he was our best face-off guy the last 2 years by a wide margin. So it's for us, it was pretty hard to put him on the wing when he's your best face-off guy.
You mentioned Phoenix Copley a little bit ago. Obviously, you guys got him back after he was traded away. What do you like about his game, and do you feel like he's ready to step into that NHL backup spot should another team come calling for Philip Grubauer?
Well, I think Copley is on the cusp of being an NHLer. And I heard the rumblings all summer as well about him potentially being the backup. The way it's played out so far, I'm, you know, personally happy because I know Phoenix will be in Hershey, and I think this year he can at least be the bona fide number one because he wasn't that in Chicago either, right?
Right.
In Chicago, he was basically splitting with three goalies at one point this past season. So I think this year would be a great year for him to really solidify himself as a bona fide number one, which I think he did down the stretch in the playoffs for us. Our division, the goaltending matchups were excellent every night, and we needed a Phoenix Copley to get in the playoffs. So, I'm really looking forward to hopefully him being part of the program in Hershey for another year, and then there's no doubt in my mind he's going to be an NHLer here, if not sometime this year, definitely for 18-19.
Troy, This is an exciting year for Washington fans because, as you've just been documenting, I mean, there's so many young guys for us to look forward to seeing compete for spots. From a coaching standpoint in Hershey, what kind of challenges does that present for you when you look at your lineup and sort of the uncertainties?
Yeah, it's going to be a different type of training camp for us. You know, I still think we're going to have probably 12, 13 returning players, which is excellent for the American Hockey League. But as I've told a number of people, you know, I think it's time. You know, I'm excited to see what some of our young guys can do. It's 2 years. We've had a pretty good team in Hershey. Obviously, we had to run to the Calder Cup final. And this year, in the toughest division in the American League, we were able to at least get the game 7 to the second round. But I compare it to beating the Toronto Marlies 2 years ago. You know, 6 of their guys moved on to full-time jobs in the NHL, obviously with a weaker program at the NHL level because the Caps are, you know, winning the President's Trophy the last 2 years. But, you know, I look at Wilkes-Barre as well. You know, they had a number of guys the last 2 years that got great looks. I think it's safe to say we've done very, very well against Wilkes-Barre over the last 2 years and held our own against them. So I think our prospects are right there with theirs. But, you know, we can't manufacture injuries at the NHL level. And unfortunately, Washington, for the Bears, prospects have been very, very healthy, which is kudos to the training staff in Washington, where maybe a Pittsburgh have had, you know, a lot of injuries over the last 2 years compared to Washington. So our prospects have not gotten the opportunity like Pittsburgh only because, you know, we just don't have injuries. But I'm very confident in some of our guys. Once they get the chance and get some opportunity, that they're going to do some things, some good things as well.
Troy, I wanted to wrap this up by asking you a question about you. You've done a great job down there with the Bears. When you kind of look at your future, what are some of the things that you still want to achieve as a coach?
Well, I think long term, you certainly want to become a head coach. You know, the average age of an NHL head coach is only 51, so I'm a few years away from that. So there's plenty of time there, and you know, there's a couple guys that only got their first opportunity at 57, 58. So, but on the short term, I just want to continue to work hard for the Caps and continue to try and, you know, make these young guys better. And is there going to be an intermediate step for me as an assistant along the way, potentially as well? And those are things you've got to look at down the line in terms of, you know, maybe different organizations and how quick you can climb the ladder as well within a different organization. But as we all know, Hershey's an unbelievable spot. It's my home now. And I love coaching in Hershey. I think it's the best job outside the NHL. So I'm very, very content as the head coach here and continue to win hockey games and, you know, get some young kids to Washington.
Hey, one final thing, Troy. Bruce Boudreau used to send chocolate to the media down here in Washington whenever he would come down for training camp. I'm not even kidding. He'd bring, like, huge things of chocolate. Do you get free chocolate up there? And if you do, could you just, you know, send some our way? Because we get really hungry in that media room at Gettler.
I will keep that in mind. I certainly have a couple connections here. And I'll see what I can do once we get down there on the, I believe we're coming down there the 14th. So I will certainly try and hook you up.
Leave it to Tarek, always bringing food into the conversation,
oh, yeah.
Troy. Thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of your time off, and we will see you in September.
Absolutely. Rookie tournament will be here before you know it. So, it's you know, once August comes around, you start looking forward to the season again.
All right. Thanks, Troy.
Thanks,
Take
Troy.
Care. That was awesome. Boy, we got a lot of info in that conversation.
More importantly, I think we got some chocolate. Yeah.
Chocolate,
I mean,
coming.
I'm not kidding. Bruce Boudreau, you remember, he would send those boxes down of the little, like, the little bite-sized, like, you know, Halloween-style candies.
Yeah.
And that's probably how I got as big as I am. But
whatever.
Oh, it was so good.
But it's true. But, and you know what? He's so right about Hershey being an awesome town.
Yes.
And it is widely regarded as probably one of the top, if not the top job outside of the NHL.
Because of their history, because of all their Calder Cups.
It's a great town.
But there's challenges there, too. And,
you
know, you've seen in recent years the Capitals have kind of, you know, made it more of a developmental program.
Yes.
Where, you know, when I covered the team for the Washington Post years ago, they were kind of still in that mode where they had a lot of 29-year-olds.
Right, because they were a little separate.
Yes.
They were winning like tons of championships, yes, getting to the finals.
So it was less, yeah, of a developmental program, right, and more of like, hey, we're trying to win for the city of Hershey.
Yeah.
And now they've kind of transitioned into being more of a farm team where they got younger, yep, guys, but they're still winning.
Right.
Because they have good coaching, because they have that tradition.
This system.
Yes.
Which is part of the developmental, yeah, part, side of it as well.
I think Troy does a great job. And he
certainly does.
He's also really honest in his assessments of, mm-hmm, players. And if he's that honest with us, that means that he's that honest with the players.
Yep.
And that's all a player wants.
Yep.
That's all a player wants,
straight
to know.
Straight communication.
Straight communication, where he stands with the coach. Why didn't I play? What do I got to do to get more minutes? And
he doesn't want to hear it from us.
Yeah.
Players do not want to hear,
no,
from us. They want to hear from the coach.
Yeah, and the fact that he's able to communicate that well with us means that I'm sure the players, and I've heard it from players,
yeah,
they love playing for him. They feel like he puts in the extra work and does the little things to help them get better. You know, one of the things that they've instituted down there, and a lot of this was Troy, was they do these skill sessions,
mm-hmm,
before practice. And it started out with a few guys, and then became like, you know, the thing where if you want to work on your, you know, your passing,
mm-hmm,
you showed up 30 minutes before practice, and Troy was out there, and he had people out there to help you.
Yeah.
You know, assistant coaches working on those little skills, because when you get to the AHL level, it's not just about knowing the systems and how to play the game of hockey.
Mm-hmm.
It's about developing those little skills, you know, making your hands a quarter second faster,
right,
making your shot that 5%, you know, harder.
Yeah.
And, you know, he mentioned stick to you. Where do you have your stick when you're coming in on the forecheck? Is it up,
mm-hmm,
in the air?
Mm-hmm.
Are you picking flies? Or is it down the ice,
right,
where that D-man's going to try and make that pass and you're going to deflect that puck? Those little details are what gets guys to the NHL, and,
mm-hmm,
Troy does a great job coaching them up.
It certainly is a lot of fun to talk to him as,
yeah,
well. Just so much information. Did anything really stick out to you when you think about our conversation? Any one player that he mentioned really stick out to you?
Well, I would say the things that stood out to me was, it sounds like Walker, while he might be penciled in for that Daniel Winnick spot, it sounds like there's going to be more competition there,
yeah,
than maybe we,
yep,
thought. Because,
yep,
I feel like when we talked to Troy at development camp, it was like, yeah, you know, I'd love for Nathan to get that spot.
Mm-hmm.
And I still think he's going to really be looked at for that spot. But it,
yeah,
sounds like he might think that, you know, Riley Barber might jump up,
sure,
or, you know, someone else.
That may light a fire under Walker. You know, he's fiery already.
Yeah.
So if he knows that it's still a competition, I mean, that may elevate,
yeah,
him to another level as well.
Yeah, I think anybody who played in Hershey last year thinks they're going to come in here, even if you're Jake Varana,
yeah,
and you think you're going to walk into a spot.
Forget it.
Because, you know, as much as the Caps want to see Varana, you know, kind of grab the bull by the horns, you,
right,
know, and really solidify himself,
mm-hmm,
he's got to earn it.
Yeah.
He's got to come in and do it. There are other guys who are going to, you know, want to play in those top positions. You know, look, the coaching staff has their depth chart. They have their, but it's a few of the spots are written in pencil.
Sure.
You know, if Verona comes in and he's not where they think he can be.
Yeah.
You know what?
It's
Brett Connolly can play right wing on the second,
absolutely,
line, too.
Absolutely.
Right?
And I had,
yeah,
Connolly penciled in there,
mm-hmm,
to start the season.
Absolutely.
So.
Tom Wilson probably thinks of himself as,
right,
as, you know, top six Tom.
It's,
you know, I mean,
what have you done for me,
yes,
lately, league?
Absolutely. I like what he said about Barber. I still, in my gut, think that Barber could benefit from some more time,
yeah,
down there. I see him more as a top six guy, and,
yeah,
right now.
So one more year of seasoning,
yeah,
maybe a few games, you,
yeah,
know, 10 to 12 games of,
sure,
the year, maybe.
I think injuries are
going to
also dictate,
right,
that. The Caps have been so healthy for so many years.
Yes.
And it's impossible to expect that to continue just, you know, forever. So I think that if there are some injuries, you know, the Riley Barbers and Travis Boyds of the world will,
yeah,
will get their opportunity to show what they can do. I was also very interested in what he said about Madison Bowie.
Mm-hmm.
He says he passes the eyeball test.
Yeah.
Now it's just a matter of him doing it.
Yep,
you know,
absolutely.
Right shot
the
defenseman.
Ice. Yeah.
Got the right size, right mentality.
So
what he can do.
He said the injury situation was similar to P.K. Subban. Do you think he looks at him as a Subban-type player? Not as offensive.
Yeah,
I would say
he doesn't have
not
that
flashy.
He's not that flashy. He doesn't have that kind of offense. Although there is some offensive upside to his game. You know, we saw him score that big goal in the preseason last year.
Yes.
He's got a good shot.
Yeah.
The comparison to me though was the fact that Subban said it took him 16 games before he felt like himself.
Yeah,
and you know, Madison came back from the ankle injury and then he got hit in the face with a puck and had to wear the bubble for a while.
Right.
Like it was a rough go for him last year.
Rocky.
But, you know, as Troy said there, when he gets to Arlington in mid-September, unlike the past few years, I mean, I couldn't imagine being, you know, a second-round pick showing up here the past 2 years where you look, you're like, all right, there's seven guys in front of me making $1 million.
Right.
I mean, what, you know, no, okay, you know, I'm going to do the best I can.
Yeah.
But I mean,
cement wall, hello.
Yes, yeah. these are guaranteed contracts up here. This is not like football where you can try to knock a veteran off.
Sure.
But now you get to camp and you look around and there's three spots with question marks there in the forward group, and there's three spots with some question marks in the decor too.
Yeah.
You know, I think, you know,
all out competition defensively.
All out competition. And the thing that Bowie's got going for him besides passing the eyeball test, he's a right shot.
Right.
And,
exactly. Right.
And you remember what they gave up last year to get Kevin Shattenkirk. I mean, you know, they really want to have right, left, if possible.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we have a lot of actually prospect questions in our mailbag.
Cool.
So before we totally talk about everything that someone asked about, let's try and get to these questions so we don't repeat and tell somebody that we already asked it. Okay, so on our mailbag, don't forget, it's, correct me if I'm wrong, capitalsfaceoff
at gmail.com.
Email us for your questions, and we will answer them.
J.J. Regan will eventually return, but his wife just gave birth
to
a little boy,
as
you guys probably saw on Twitter. So he'll be back, but he's taking some.
he's not getting much sleep right now.
probably no sleep right now. So when he's ready to be back, he'll be back.
And he will probably be happy to be back for a little break, if I remember that correctly. All right, so first off, we have Eddie. He says, hey, guys, thanks for answering my previous question on your podcast and answering your question, where from Europe? It's Riga, Latvia. That's pretty cool. So every live game, he says, he watches at 2 or 3 in the morning.
That is dedication.
All right, so here's his question. He says, how soon do you see Ilya Samsonov in a Caps jersey? He's been a backup goalie for Metallurg and probably will play the same role this season. Will the Caps be ready to take him in 18-19 and put him to the test? What do you think?
Well, I can tell you this. The Capitals really like the way he's coming along.
Mm-hmm.
They also like the fact that he's playing against grown men over there in a pretty good league. And if you look at the way things kind of are shaping up in terms of the goalie depth chart, Holtby's going to be the number one for years to come. Philip Grubauer took a one-year deal.
Yes. And he's an RFA.
That's going to make him very attractive to teams that are looking for a starter because he's got the qualities and the mental makeup of a starting goaltender. If he were to move on, then you look at Phoenix Copley as a guy who would come in and be Holtby's backup.
Mm-hmm.
The organization had wanted to get Copley back for several months, even before.
They were watching him while he was gone.
They were watching him in November.
Yeah.
Hoping to get him back at some point. I would say sometime in the next year or so, the conversation has to happen. The question for a lot of those top guys, especially first-round draft picks who are used to playing at the highest level in their home country, is do they really want to come over here and ride the buses and, you know, live the AHL? Sometimes you have to kind of sweeten the pot a little bit. Sometimes you got to, make it worth their while, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's going to be a tough situation because, you know, I would imagine Ilya is going to want to come over and walk right into the NHL, and I don't know. I mean, they drafted him for a reason.
Right.
They think he can do it, but next year or the year after this coming season, I still think that he might be another year away. After that. So 2 years maybe.
Sure. All right. So Drew Crispell or Crispell asks,
what's up, Drew?
Or says, hey, guys, love the podcast. Gets me through the work week. Us too, actually.
Yeah.
Was wondering, with all the talk of the guys in Hershey and the rest of the prospects having a shot next year, where you see Travis Boyd on the depth chart? feel like that's a name that certainly doesn't get enough attention for what he does. Thanks, and have a great summer. Which is funny because we actually didn't ask Troy Mann specifically about Travis Boyd. He's a center who's probably behind Stevenson. But again, as Troy said, he can move to wing because you can move a center to wing. But when you look at the center depth with Washington, you got four solid centers.
Right.
So it's an uphill battle for Travis Boyd.
They like him. They do like him. And I would say that Travis Boyd and Riley Barber, in my opinion, are in that call-up mode
yes.
right now.
Yep.
You're looking at the prospects among the forwards who are going to play a prominent role in Washington next year. You're talking about Nathan Walker, Jake Varana, and Chandler Stevenson. Even if a guy like Stevenson doesn't play every night, I'd imagine because of the waiver situation, he would be in D.C. And then Riley Barber and Travis Boyd, because they can go up and down without being exposed, are the kind of guys that will come up to fill in for injuries. Or if someone's just really scuffling. Let's just say someone just hasn't scored in 20 games or just isn't playing very well.
Yeah. Light a fire.
Light a fire,
box,
yeah.
Let him watch.
Then you bring Travis up and let him get in the lineup. In my opinion, he's probably another year away from being in real contention
Regular.
For a full-time job.
Yeah. But they look at him as a playmaker, a guy who's assist
yes.
first,
yes.
shoot last. Okay, so Bill Bridges says, really appreciate you guys doing this through the dog days of summer. My question is about the D. With their cap constraints, it seems a given the 2 to 3 open spots on defense will be filled by kids. Yeah. I think Juice is a lock with his offensive upside and the fact that they could lose him on waivers. Who else do you think is most likely to make it from Hershey, or could someone like a Johansson or Hobbs surprise everyone and stick around after the cuts? Before we get to the answer on this, Bill, and everyone else listening, Tarik and I are actually in the midst of taping a look at prospects, and we're going to take an in-depth look at a lot of these guys individually and then, you know, a group of them and sort of rank them. So be sure to check out our website, csminatlantic.com,
yep.
and look at those videos, and we can really go in-depth. We will hear on the podcast as well, but it'll give you a sense of a snapshot, an in-depth snapshot when we do those
Absolutely.
Segments for TV online-wise. All right, so the first, Juice, he says Juice is a lock. Here's my take,
okay.
first of all, is it's an open competition for two spots on defense, basically. And so I think they love Juice. But I think that to have that ability to be able to say with an open mind, we're looking at everyone is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And not a familiar position for Washington, in fact.
Yeah, I would say Juice, I consider him a lock.
Yep.
Simply because I don't think he would make it back through waivers after
yes.
the season he had last year.
Just look at his highlight. Like when we do these videos,
yeah.
when we the highlights,
he makes people look silly.
It is it's like he's one of those guys, Hark, where you like look at him and you're like, oh my gosh, he's not even trying.
Yeah,
but it's incredible.
Yeah,
incredible.
He's really come a long way, and you know, I think I might have told the story before, but Jill, you were there. We were talking to someone in the front office of the Capitals, and they said that Alex Ovechkin actually always asks,
yes.
Where's Christian? How come Juice isn't making
Where's
our
Juice?
Team?
Where's Juice?
Where's Juice? Because he has impressed him so much in training camp.
Yeah.
At least last season he did. But Juice is a lock, in my opinion, because after what he did last year, you know, leading the league among defensemen AHL in assists and being third in points, and the two guys in front of him are like 30-year-olds
right.
who are lifetime minor leaguers at this point. I think that one of the other 31 teams would take him.
Yeah.
Yep. Or 30 teams.
Yep.
So 31 teams total, and getting my NFL and NHL.
Well, and the whole Las Vegas thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it just throws a wrench into everything.
I'm still getting used to it.
Yeah.
So I would say he's a lock. I would say Bowie is a guy who, as a right shot, as Troy Mann said, I mean, he's just about ready.
Yep.
But again, he can go through waivers, so that can make – sometimes that's the tiebreaker,
right.
unfortunately, for the youngsters.
Yep.
I think Aaron Ness is going to have a decent shot. I'm not sure they look at him as a prospect because of his age.
Right.
But he's a guy
Insurance?
Who's, insurance. He's
yeah.
played 30-something games in the NHL. You know, he's a puck mover, good skater. I could see him get some time. And then I would say after that, Lewington, Johansson, Siegenthaler, Hobbs, they're kind of all in that 3A, B, C, D kind of range. I would say they're very close. Siegenthaler might be a four. It might be fourth on that list because they really want him to get some North American hockey in before.
Right. He has some adjusting to do.
Yes,
still.
He does, which was apparent in the playoffs, I believe.
I really, really want to see Lucas Johansson just play in the NHL. I'm so intrigued to see, even without a little bit of seasoning in Hershey, mm-hmm. like I just kind of want to do that like fire test, like throw him into the fire. Let me just see. I mean, it could be crash and burn, but I don't think so.
You know, he's definitely done his part in terms of putting on the extra weight that he needed to kind of bulk up a little bit.
Yep.
But again, I just think that the way you look at the way this roster, he would really have to have an outstanding training camp and preseason.
Yes.
Simply because he doesn't have to go through waivers. And you know what? It never hurts to have a guy play some minor league games, but
before you throw him into the fire, Jill.
He's got a lot of skill. He's got a lot of ability.
He's got the pedigree.
I mean, I wouldn't count him out. I would not count him out, no doubt.
All right. Now Greg Christian says, J.J. Tarik and Jill. J.J., I'm sure, is listening.
Or sleeping.
Right. What do you think of the possibility that the Caps have Orpik school the young defensive prospects during most of the season and then trade him at the deadline for whatever talent they think they need to make a deep playoff run? Thanks, Greg out. Thank you. I like the Greg out there. Greg, I absolutely think that Orpik will be schooling the young defensive prospects. I don't think that they trade him at the deadline at all. Well, first of all, Orpik is so valuable to this organization, and I know a lot of people look at his salary and think, you know, he's not worth it given the minutes, et cetera, and the age. But he's so valuable in that locker room that that's what they look at. And frankly, if you talk to people with the Caps, you know, they look at last year and say that's probably one of his better years in the last three or so. When you look at, you know, I know you guys hate plus minus, but when you look at plus minus and you look at the impact that he had on the ice and also has on the young defensemen who play next to him, whether it be Orlov, whether it be Schmidt, this is a guy who it will become extremely invaluable with these young guys coming up.
I think he finishes the season in Washington. I think after that, I think there's some conversations that need to be had. But I think Brooks Orpik finishes the season in Washington. Just like you said, and that's a great point you brought up there. I mean, he can impart so much knowledge on these kids. And you look at the strength of this Washington organization right now, it is their defensive prospects. And you're going to see, I would say at some point this year, you are going to see Juice, Bowie, Lewington, Johansson, Hobbs, and probably Siegenthaler all get some games.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I mean,
think about that for a minute.
Yeah. I mean, you know, two of them are going to get regular-ish, 60 games. Right. Yeah.
Yes.
And then the other ones are going to come up. And you know what? I hope they put their lockers right next to Brooks Orpik so they can look over and go, that's how you're a pro.
Yep.
That's how you're a pro. That's how you take care of your body. That's how you prepare yourself mentally.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you, you know, you hit the weights on the way out of the practice. I mean, he just does the little things right. No one takes care of their body better.
He should give a seminar.
Yeah.
Or Orpik. He should go to Hershey and give a seminar.
You know,
a webinar.
He's made so much money in his career. He probably has other things he wants to do after his playing days are done. But you know what? He'd be a great coach.
I absolutely
really
agree.
Coach.
Yes, he would. I'm going to get to Garrett Dolke's question really quickly. We kind of answered it because it has to do with goalies and Samsonov in particular. But let's hit this briefly, and then I have one last question, which deals with the forwards, which we haven't even talked about, which is pretty cool. All right, so Garrett Dolke says, hey, love the podcast. My question is, how do you see the Capitals' goaltending depth working out once Samsonov hopefully gets over here, which we did say probably a couple years out, which you said. If no trades occur, and I am correct. I don't know why I said a core, by the way. If no trades occur, and I am correct, they would have Holtby, Grubauer, Copley, Samsonov, Vanacek, and a few others. Mm-hmm. So who goes where? Do any trades occur? Thanks for all your hard work on the podcast. It's actually fun hard work.
Yeah, it is. Especially, you know, it's great just to kind of talk about these things now because it kind of keeps you involved and keeps your mind sharp and
so
thinking
true.
About things, even in the dog days of summer when, you know, most NHL executives are on a lake somewhere.
Yes, and we're supposed to, like, I do a lot of shows that look at training camp.
Yeah.
Football wise. So it's nice for me to keep my hockey eyes in it.
Absolutely. As far as the depth chart, I think you nailed it there.
Yeah.
I think that there's a decent chance that Philip Grubauer will find another home at some point in the next year.
He wants to be, and he deserves to be a number one, and it's not going to happen here. So I would like to see it happen.
And the Caps have holes that they can use him as leverage and an asset to go get some pieces that could help them in other areas. The problem is, and they looked into it this offseason, the problem is there was a glut of good goaltenders on the market.
And not a lot of spots,
which is, in years past, that's not usually the situation. It's usually the other way around. It's like quarterbacks in football. There's not enough to go around. And this year there were too many, which wasn't ideal. I spoke to a source about a month ago, and one of the reasons that Grubauer didn't file for arbitration, where he might have gotten a little bit more money, because they thought the Caps were going to elect a 2-year agreement, which would have locked him in even longer.
Right.
And because he really, he's dedicated to the Capitals right now, but he sees himself as a starter. And as long as Mr. Vezina trophy winning, Holtbeast is, or, Vezina trophy
finalist
is here, it's going to be very difficult for him to overtake and become a starter and even be a 1B. It's not in the cards here. Holtby likes to play as much as possible, and I would say he's the guy who would be moved if the right situation came up.
Yep.
Because they have Copley, which is part of the reason they went and got Copley. A, they liked him. B, they thought they were going to lose Grubauer in the expansion draft. And so now they've got a great number one goaltender and two very good backups.
Right. That's a decent situation, I would say.
It's a good situation to be in.
All right, last question from our mailbag, Kevin Tranchina. Or Tranchina. Sorry, Kevin.
What's up, Kevin?
New York.
Huge.
Hey, Jill and Tarek. I remember reading last preseason that Trotz wanted to pair younger guys with established stars, but Burakovsky and Connolly still mostly stayed in the bottom six. I know you've predicted line combos already, but do you think the necessary use of minimum contract players will ever lead to the Caps spreading their talent throughout the lineup more, like a playoff-style Ovi-Eller grouping? The Penguins have won by giving big minutes to kids playing with Crosby, Malkin, Kessel on different lines. Any chance Washington ever tries to make their lines less top-heavy by splitting up their best players among three lines and not just two? Will Vrana, Barber, etc. get real chances to force depth or stay on lower lines by default and seniority? Thanks for great shows.
I love your thinking, Kevin.
Right?
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. I don't know if you're going to see that right off the bat, but as we saw last season with Barry Trotz and his random line generator.
Yes.
You remember how crazy it was in October?
Blenders.
You never knew.
Well, you had Sanford up, so it was kind of like trying to find all this mix.
But you know what? I love what the Penguins did.
Yeah.
Putting young players with Crosby and look at what happened with Jake Gensel.
Yeah.
I mean, I would say that's certainly something that they're going to consider and they're going to talk about. I think that when you look at the distribution of minutes, though, I mean, there really is a top six and then kind of a drop-off to that next group. I guess that's a long-winded way of saying, I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, we'll have to wait until training camp. But like I said, Kevin, I like the way you're looking at that. Instead of having – I mean, I guess if you have Burakovsky, Backstrom, and Oshie, then Berkey's the young guy playing with Backstrom. Even though he's played 3 years, he's still only 22 years old. And then I guess
you have Vrana maybe on that second line.
Vrana on the second line with Kuznetsov and Ovechkin.
Yep.
The third line, I mean, I'm not sure I could see a Riley Barber or a Nathan Walker, someone displacing a Connolly or a Wilson on either side of Eller, but
you could look at Wilson as the young guy though.
Yeah, I mean, he's 23 years old.
Yeah, but he's still young.
And you know what? They want him to be a third liner. He might be a fourth. It might be a very good fourth liner.
Right.
That might be what he is.
Well, you know,
and maybe
remember 3 years ago they were talking about Tom Wilson being top six.
Yeah.
I don't know how much they've actually stepped back from that as an organization, but it sure looks like, between the third and fourth line, they, you know, I'm not sure he could be on the second line.
Yeah.
But I don't know from an organization standpoint how much they still see that as Tom.
Look, I will tell you this. When I look at this lineup amongst forwards, I see four spots that are guaranteed.
Yes.
I see Backstrom, Kuznetsov, Eller, Beagle. That's your 1-2-3-4 at center.
Right.
And then I look at the left and right wing. I mean, there are a lot of interchangeable parts there. I would say
Barry's going to have a fun blender.
Yeah, I would say Oshie's is the one yes. guy because of ability, because of salary. Like mm-hmm. you and Ovechkin. I'm sorry, those right. two. Like you would expect them for sure to be in the top six.
Right.
Everyone else, I could see those guys move around. A lot of those wings are flexible. I mean, Vrana mm-hmm. can play both sides. Likes playing his off wing. Burakovsky can play both sides. Likes right. playing his off wing.
Right.
And then the fourth line is kind of kind of a little bit up in the air.
Right.
So it's going to be an interesting camp to see where the dust settles. And even when the dust settles October 5th, it's not yeah. really settled.
No.
Barry Trotz is your coach.
Right. Well, and it's going to be, you know, whatever works in October often is not still working in December.
Right.
Is not still working in February. And it's really once you get into late February, March, you really have to start honing in on what you think is going to work for the playoffs, and you got to stick with it.
And you know, the upside to moving people around, and I know a lot of coaches around the league do this now more so than, you know, years ago. There were, here's your lines, mm-hmm. here's the nickname we're giving to this line, that line's going to stay together
right.
for 3 years.
Yep.
Well, that doesn't happen much
doesn't
anymore.
Happen.
Because when
injuries.
When injuries happen, mm-hmm. you want to be able to throw somebody up
yes.
from the third line. And it's not the first time he's ever seen that center in his life. Hey, I'm Brett Connolly. Nice to meet you. We played together 2 weeks ago.
Right.
You know, we know how to play with one another.
Yeah. And guys like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
They like having solid lines, but they also like familiarity. So there's give and take there.
There is some give and take, but also I think you're going to see a little more competition.
Yeah.
Because there are going to be some ways that Trotz is going to be able to, which he wasn't able to do really last year with a all veteran lineup where everyone's making a lot of money, and this mm-hmm. is he's going to be able to kind of, you know, light some fires under some guys. You
yeah.
know, if you're struggling on the first line, you might show up and you might have a white jersey hanging in your locker
sure.
for practice. You might be lining up next to Beagle.
Yeah, there you go.
And remind
you how to play defensively.
Yeah. And now a kid is in your spot in a red jersey, and that'll kind of keep guys honest and keep them motivated and hungry.
You remember when Boudreaux was here, his big thing was when he called a player up or when they called a player up to Washington from Hershey, he would put him on the line with Ovi.
Yeah.
And he was like, and I would ask him about that and say, why, you know, did you put so-and-so on the top line? And he said, you know what? If I'm going to put him up here, I'm going to put him in a position to succeed.
Right.
So I really want to see at the very top level how he does. And I always found that interesting and also very fun to watch from a fan and media perspective.
Could you imagine being like a 20-year-old prospect? Could you imagine being like a Riley
yeah.
Barber and showing up
in
your first call-up and
Ovechkin at the height of his career?
Right.
You know?
Or even next year, you're skating on the line with Backstrom,
yeah.
right?
Right. So, Backstrom and Oshie.
Yeah.
You're like, all right, Barber, go for it. You'd be like, what?
Yeah.
That'd
but
awesome.
I mean, but you know, at the same time, you know, you want guys to, like you said, be in a position to succeed. If you're a first line player in Hershey, I mean, how many times have we seen? You know, remember Thomas Fleischmann?
Yes.
You know,
very well.
Yeah, he had some ups and downs in his career, but he was almost useless in a bottom six role.
Yeah.
You know, he was really good in a top six role.
Right.
Well, you know, not good enough to.
Solid.
Yeah, solid. You
yeah.
know, occasionally solid. Sometimes solid. I saw a story the other day. Said he's coaching young player youth hockey in Florida.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
He was such a nice guy.
Yeah,
he had that mentality. I think you know
he did. Flash.
And sometimes it's the inconsistent players who make the better coaches.
Absolutely.
So.
But you know, getting back to my point, you know, if you're a top six
you had
guy,
a point?
Yeah,
I'm kidding.
You're killing me. You and this cold that I'm. I don't know if you.
No,
you
I haven't
you
noticed
sound how
it.
Nasally I sound?
No,
oh, I feel terrible.
It's all in your head. Get it?
Yes, it is. It's a head cold.
Your head.
It's a head cold, and it's 97 degrees outside. But getting back to my original point, you know, if you're a top six guy, you're a top six guy, and
yes.
sometimes you get stuck into a third and fourth line role, and you're not playing every third or fourth. It can be very tough on you. Maybe that's the reason that you know Boudreaux would do that as well.
I don't even suggest that we try and go into Boudreaux's mind and figure that out.
Nope.
All right. I think that covers everything. We had an awesome conversation with Troy Mann. We got to all your questions in our mailbag. Don't forget to email us at capitalsfaceoff@gmail.com, or you could tweet one of us.
Yeah.
You tweet us. We'll answer your questions. I actually forgot to check before we went on. So if you ask me a question on Twitter, I'm really sorry. I forgot to check. And if you did, we'll answer it next week. Although you're on vacation next week.
I am going to the beach for a week.
You're so lucky.
Yeah.
A couple more weeks, I'll be on vacation again. All right.
Again.
I know.
Multiple vacations.
Well, you have to take them in the summer.
This is true.
You know?
You don't really get time. Back when my kids were young, we could take multiple vacations. But now, it's like they have hockey practice, they got field hockey practice, they got lacrosse practice. And you can't miss like a whole week.
You can't.
I guess you could, but.
Well, you could, and then they wouldn't play probably right. the next tournament.
Yeah.
But you're sitting on there Saturday and Sunday, and you're like, why isn't my kid playing?
Exactly.
Oh, right, because we were on vacation.
For the second time.
And we still have to be here even though he's not playing, or she's not playing, right? So, yeah, I get it. Tarek, thank you.
Yep.
We look forward to having JJ back. JJ, get some sleep if you're listening. Why are you listening? Go get some sleep. Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll catch you next week.
See you later.